Sandy, how are you, my man?
I'm good, and there was no greater friend than the ice tub and lots and lots of carbonated beverages.
Really? Carbonated ones?
Yes,
I like that.
Of the stubby kind.
Yeah. tell us what you know about Steve Middleton, who the Eskimos acquired today. Is he more of a depth guy, or do you think he could actually start on the Eskimos O-line?
I think he can start, and I think that's why they made the move. Ultimately, you're always looking for more depth, especially at the offensive line position, especially with respect to Canadians. But he's one of those guys that can start right away. He's a CFL veteran, and he's a pretty big body.
Let's take a look at this season, or this game that just happened between Calgary and Edmonton. And John Cornish, I mean, had an excellent game, a powerful runner. You know, what do you do when you're trying to stop a guy like John Cornish, or contain him, maybe a better way of phrasing it?
Well, John Cornish doesn't have a lot of success when defenses play very sound gap football. And that means you got to take away the A's, the B's, and just off tackle the C's. And it takes a very disciplined defense. It takes a lot of unselfishness from down linemen and linebackers being where they're supposed to be. And ultimately what you want to do is you want to see John Cornish try to stretch it outside the tackles. He doesn't have blazing speed, and he doesn't work very, very well outside the tackles. So I didn't think Edmonton did a very good job at all of taking away those A and B gaps. There was a lot of running room right down the middle of the field.
So when you look at that, a lot of running room, do you credit the offensive line for making it, or the Eskimos' defense not in the right gaps?
Definitely, it's a little bit of both. I mean, Calgary has a very good offensive line, but I don't think they're any better than any other CFL line that runs the ball effectively. What I do think is that was a very undisciplined performance of a pretty good Edmonton defense. Ultimately, the down linemen are always taking care of the offensive line, and if he's doing his job, he usually uses up one or two offensive linemen, and that offensive lineman is unable to climb up to the next level to the linebacker. If I look at the film, I'm going to say that the D-line didn't do a very good job of controlling their gap and maybe sacrificing their body in order to free up some linebackers and make some tackles.
Sandy, how easy is it when you're down in this stance on the defensive line to look up and kind of get a sense of perhaps where the guys are standing, the offensive line are standing, of where they may run the ball?
Well, ultimately, it's down in distance, and it's the play that's you know, been called in from the sideline. But you know that you have either an A gap or a B gap if you're a three technique or a one technique in the defensive tackle position. If you're a true nose, you know you're responsible for both A gaps. Ultimately, you have to get that big body in that gap and not be willing to move. That's why you got to play low. It's the job of an offensive lineman to take the defensive lineman to a place he doesn't want to go, impose his will. And that's called winning the line of scrimmage. And that's exactly what Calgary did. They won the line of scrimmage. They were able to blow those guys out of the gap and create those small creases that John Cornish has great explosive ability through the line of scrimmage to really take advantage of. And that's what we saw.
Sandy Nunziata, join us. Going back to Middleton, you mentioned you feel he could start. As a guard, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I see him more as a guard. I know he's had some reps at the tackle position as well, but he's a big body. Ultimately, if you want to play guard, you have to have a good inside step and a good inside punch. The shortest distance to a quarterback is through a guard's A gap. So as long as he's sound with his inside step, he can be a good, effective run blocker. As long as he has a good punch, he can be a very effective pass blocker. I don't necessarily see Edmonton struggling in the pass protection department, especially when Mike Riley is there. This is a guy that was a top five yardage getter as a quarterback with respect to rushing in the league. Last year, he rushed for almost 1,000 yards. So he helps his offensive linemen out quite a bit in the passing game. But I see some challenges when it comes to the run game for the Edmonton Eskimos. And up to this point, they're a very good running team, but they do it by committee. If they can find one guy to carry the rock 18 to 20 times, consistently get into that rhythm, and that way it helps the offensive lineman know the tendencies and the rhythm of the running back that's in there, it's going to help them out quite a bit. But ultimately, you got to have a very disciplined offensive lineman that takes a good first step and knows how to move a guy out of his way.
Danny, let's touch on the receiving corps for the Edmonton Eskimos. How do you evaluate them compared to the rest of the CFL?
Well, they got some great talent, and I can't say enough about the year Darius Bowman is having. I mean, the guy is almost at 800 yards already, and we're just at the halfway mark. So he's having just a fantastic year. What he does is he really gives the offense and his quarterback an opportunity to do so many things. He can catch the crossers and the crossing routes because he's a big body, and he has enough speed to kind of stretch a defense and get behind them, and we've seen that on occasion as well. You complement that with a guy like Freddie Stamps when he's healthy. You complement those guys with some good, competent pass catchers in the slot, and all of a sudden you have weapons all over the field. So I like their receiving core. I think maybe they're one short as far as having a real speedster that can really pose some threats all over the field, and maybe that's one of the pieces of the puzzle they'll add up through through free agency, through some NFL cuts, and maybe prepare for the playoff run down the stretch.
I definitely think speed overall in the receiving corps has hurt the Eskimos a little bit this season. I don't see them getting a lot of separation, especially on crossing patterns.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what you want to do. You want to give a quarterback confidence, and unless you're an extremely accurate passer, the quarterback wants to see his receivers get that separation. And sometimes it comes in the form of having one step, sometimes it's one and a half or even two steps. But the more separation you can create, the more confidence that quarterback has to throw the ball. But again, it's all about positioning and running discipline routes, and certainly it's about the play calling. Sometimes you run those rub routes. Sometimes you know how to lure a defensive back or a halfback or a free safety out of their zone, out of their position to create that kind of space. So a lot of it has to do with play calling, but a lot of it is discipline route running. I've known some very competent receivers that were as slow as molasses, and Darren Flutie comes to mind. This is a guy that ran very disciplined routes, and he used his positioning on the field and used his teammates in order to create that separation. So just having pure speed, not necessarily the best asset, but it is one of them.
Let's take a look on the Calgary side of the ball. They come in and played very well in Calgary. They now come back here Saturday. Bo Levi Mitchell, how did the Eskimos get this guy out of his rhythm that you love to talk about?
Well, again, it's all about disrupting his rhythm, and it's jamming receivers so the receivers don't get to their spot where Bo Levi Mitchell has practiced all week. It's about getting to the quarterback and making him throw the ball a fraction of a second too early or a fraction of a second too late. All these things go into one snap of a football, and if you can be disruptive all over the field, then it's going to impact the overall result of that play. So just allowing him to stand in the pocket, set his feet, and throw the ball where he wants to, he's going to pick you apart. Let's face it, he's playing quarterback at a professional level. He knows how to throw the ball. He's an accurate passer, and he's a smart quarterback. He knows where to put the ball. So you have to disrupt all those things, and how you do that is through a lot of pressure.
Do you think the Eskimo play calling has been too conservative?
You know, you're only going to take what a defense gives you. And ultimately, if, the defense wants to play tight up to the line of scrimmage and put seven in the box, then unfortunately it's going to be very difficult to run the ball unless you go with another offensive lineman or bring in a fullback or maybe bring down a slot back to contribute in the run game. I like an offense that's very creative, that could spread their formation, maybe go a four-pack and, run some deep routes and run some under stuff, mix it up with some screen plays, maybe run a couple of draw plays to get the defensive linemen thinking a little bit from getting too fast up the field. You got to be creative in your play calling, but again, it's predicated on the personnel and what the other side is doing.
One final one for you, Sam. I always hear that you take what the defense gives you. I don't understand that. When the offense are the ones dictating what they want to do, the receivers know exactly what route they want to go. Why do you worry about what the defense? Why doesn't offense just say, okay, you know what, we're going to do what we're good at, because the defense still has to be kind of guessing on what play we're going to be calling?
Well, unfortunately, all teams are not created equal. And if you look at that statement has never been so true than if you look at the East and the West. Ultimately, when you look at your roster, you know whether you have a receiver that can get separation, that he's quick or he's accurate or he's disciplined. You look at the defensive backs he's going against, and maybe that's an element of your offensive attack that's going to be eliminated because you just don't have the horses and the personnel to exploit that aspect of the passing game. Maybe you have a very good running game. Maybe you have a competent offensive line, and you're playing a defensive line that's not as disciplined. So these things go into the game planning the week of, and that's why a whole playbook is boiled down to probably about 10 to 12 plays, and you know that these are the plays that are going to work against this particular personnel and this particular defensive scheme. The problems occur when those 12 plays that you've rehearsed aren't working either, and now you have a team that's very static and can't adjust and can't go into the locker room and come up with something to defeat whatever the defense is doing. That's the issue that we have, and I think that's what we're seeing across the league right now. Teams, their inability to adjust, whatever they've practiced during the week, they show up on game day, and that's not effective, and then they just can't adjust quick enough.
That's a great point, Sandy, and hopefully the offense eventually picks up. The best game of the season, I think, was the Saskatchewan-Winnipeg game this past Labor Day, and hopefully we see a few more of those in the second half of the season. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys.